involved in any evening that I'm a part of. So please welcome right now, John Sylvain.
What a nice introduction. I've noticed, and I probably you've noticed, that at just the point when you're an expert at something, you get promoted into something that you're completely incompetent at and can't do. Right? So, I mean, it starts in the womb. Just when you're really comfortable, you kick in, and you're warm, and you're happy, they kick you out, right? And then, if you know any newborns, you know how angry they are at first. And then just when they figure out how to be a baby and how to enjoy that, suddenly they're kids, you're a kid. And then you're the youngest kid.
Let me play.
And then just when you're like, you're 11, 12, and you're the king of the kids, any 11-year-olds, they don't care about anything. They're really in charge. They know what it is to be a kid. And then just when they're in charge, puberty hits, and they're fucked. Remember how awesome fifth grade was, right? I mean, you think back, maybe it was fourth grade for some of you. Maybe it was seventh grade. You remember how awful sixth grade is like the worst year of your life usually. And the rules have changed and everything, and you're screwed. And then you figure that out. You figure out how to be a teenager, and you get to be senior in high school, and you're the king of the high school, and you've made friends that will last all your life, you think, at the time. And you're the captain of the football team, or the head drama geek, or the president of the chess club or whatever, and then they kick you out. And then you're at the bottom of the barrel again, freshman in college, you start from scratch, and what do you think happens when you're a senior and the big man on campus? They kick you out. Fucked again. Out into the big world with you. And then when you figure out how to be a happy adult, you have kids. And then when you figure out how to be a good parent, you finally get that parenting thing figured out, your kids leave. And then when you figure out how to enjoy your retirement, you figured out how to be a great senior citizen, what happens? That's right, you die. So I'm at one of those cusps right now. Like, right now, I don't have any kids. And I'm just now figuring out things like how to really save money and how to pay my bills and keep my socks clean and have fun without being too hungover and, handling life, being able to handle life. So, of course, Shelly and I are having a baby. Mother's Day, what the hell else am I doing? So, October 5th is the due date. So, somebody recently said, I said October 5th, somebody, and I think Michelle said this last night. She said, oh, that's soon. Soon? Really? Soon? I thought it was like months away. Jesus, wet. Soon. Back off, all right? Back off. Oh, my God. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, Shelly and I want to have a baby. Shelly and I want to be parents, honestly. I mean, I love my wife so much, and I love her more every single day. We've been together for 13 years. And every day I love her more, which seems completely impossible, but it's true. It's amazing. So it seems like the thing to do is to take all this love and to make a baby, to make a new life. I mean, it seems like a natural, wonderful thing to do, and I really look forward to it. I mean, maybe that's why they call it making love, right? It seems so unbelievably wonderful and romantic and miraculous and such a huge step for me, anyway, and for everybody. It's hard to remember that really. That's the whole point from a clinical evolutionary perspective, I mean, love and lust is just our DNA's way of fooling us into propagating our genetic code. But it doesn't really feel that way, does it? The funny thing is, to have a cute little innocent baby, pure as the new fallen snow, you have to have sex. So this is a funny story. We decide to have a baby. So Shelly finds out that when she's fertile, and she finds out told this story before, and I say, so Shelly goes on the internet and finds out when she's fertile. Yeah, you can do that. I find out when my wife is fertile on the internet. Information everywhere. So she goes on the internet and finds out when she's fertile. So we schedule a week of sex twice a day. For a week. Now, and you, if you're 23 and you're falling in love, you know, sex twice a day is practically, you know, par for the course. It's a normal thing. I had sex 2 or 3 times a day when Shelly and I first got together for, you know, about a month. And then, but when you're 35 and you've been with the same person for 13 years, even if you have a great sex life, which we do, sex twice a day for a week. It's pretty extraordinary. Let me tell you, I was psyched. I figured this would go on for a while, you know? I mean, it wasn't gonna work the very first time we tried, right? I mean, people go for months and sometimes years trying to have a baby, right? So, for at least 1 week for every month in the future, I'm going to be having lots of sex! Like, just gonna be like too much sex! She like that for that 1 week. It was too much sex. You say, oh, that 1 week. Yes. Well, here's the other thing. I also learned where babies come from when I was about 8. You know, my mother told me this. She's a kooky lady. She didn't reply I asked. I learned, you know, what goes where and why. And then when I was about 15, I had some practical experience with the machinery. And then I spent the next 20 years thwarting the original intention, if you know what I mean. Yeah. You know, turning on the machine, but using it for pleasure, but not for business. In fact, making sure actively that the business thing didn't happen. So it came as quite a shock to me that my boys could swim. I mean, that works the way I learned when I was 8, you know, because I felt like I didn't have sex. Believe me, I had lots of sex. I've had lots of sex, goddammit! But, nobody ever got pregnant, you know, because I was careful. And then I stopped being careful for 1 week. Boom! Yeah. My sexual weeks that I had scheduled out to the horizon, they all canceled. Won't be needing to do that. No, I got it on the first try.
No.
So I was fertile. I mean, I was pretty psyched about that for a little while, when I realized what it might mean. So we didn't tell anybody at first, you know, because in the first trimester, you know, the pregnancy might not take. Miscarriage is extremely common, like 50%. Everybody should know this. It's not like 50%. It's like 30%. No, like, don't, if you get pregnant, don't tell everybody in your first trimester. Not a good idea. Because it almost doesn't count. And at first, this pregnancy didn't look like it was going well. And so, in fact, the doctor said, you know, on our very first visit, he said, okay, okay, no strenuous exercise and no intercourse, okay? What? And so that went on for about 2 months. And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, January, I don't know if you noticed, might have been a little irritable. It wasn't so much the lack of sex, it was also the revoked promise, the horizon of sexual weeks, you know. Just imagining, you know, wow, John's really happy this week. Well, he's getting laid twice a day, at least. So then all those sexual weeks I had lined up turned into the longest sexual drought of my adult life, past 15 years. Poor me. Bad news. But everything worked out. And everything is actually startlingly normal and going great, apparently. If I say apparently, yeah, thank you. Because Shelly hasn't even gotten sick. You know, she hasn't gotten sick. She had almost no outward signs of pregnancy. We're kind of thinking that it's a conspiracy of some kind. We kind of suspect we go down to the doctor's office, they slip in a videotape of the ultrasound and say, yeah, there's your thing. Have you seen ultrasounds? No, they're like these gray, blobby masses. They're like, oh, there's the head. You're like, what? What's the head? Oh, look, there's his leg. That's just a squiggle. That doesn't look like anything. So, and then they have a tape recording, a little heartbeat, and they turn on their machine, and they go, oh, yeah, you're pregnant. Tell your insurance company to keep sending us money, because you're pregnant. And we go home, like, I don't feel anything. Like, they look different. But apparently that's going to change. So, where was I? So October. It's coming soon. Okay, so I'm going from being an adult, sort of a regular guy, to being a parent. A parent. It's funny being inside the change and observing it, you know. The interesting thing is it really is changing the way I relate to people. Like other parents. I said other parents. So, like I used to, like 4 months ago, I meet people with kids, and I say, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. Yeah, oh, you have kids. Oh, well, that's weird. It's weird for you. Now, let me go over there with my non-parents. And we're going to smoke and drink and do drugs. See you later, Dad. Now, 4 months later, I meet people who have kids, and I'm like, hey, me too, pretty soon, yeah, wow, so you, what, how do you pay for the, can I come over and maybe we could, help me, so glad that somebody else is at the fuck with their life too. It must be the closest kind of club, you know, like, give me your phone number, even though we just met. Because you have kids, and I'm going to have... We can take and play together. Yours is 10 years older than mine. I don't care. It's interesting, because I really, honestly, for those of you who know me, it's like, you know, 6 months ago, I could relate to Jesse Marion, but not to her mother, Ruth. You know, it's like... And now I'm like, oh, Jesse, that's fine. You're a kid. Ruth, now I can talk to you. So I'm scared. I'm excited. I'm scared shitless. I'm going to be a parent soon, so I'm scared. I have heck scared out of me. I guess I can't swear anymore, right? But I'm very excited because it's perfect. It's exactly perfect because life was going a little too smoothly. It's time to get promoted. Thank you.